Moving on to Iowa State this week. It's an important game for us as we begin conference play. So our preparation, needless to say, is important as we get going today in the practice field. And we're excited about that opportunity to open up at home in conference play. So with that being said, I'll welcome any questions you may have.
Coach, Corey McEwen just sat up here for about half an hour and kind of talked about the situation with his team. And being a student athlete, and at times he felt maybe it was a little overboard for him. How, as a coach, have you handled, you know, especially the defenses from being able to get it?
I think what's important for our football team is that we come together, and like any team, when you go through some adversity, it's important that you close ranks and really support each other. I think the big thing is that you're supportive and that you're constructive and that you're positive about everything that you're doing. And you have to stay upbeat and positive about the situation you're in, because there's no immediate remedy except to go out, work hard, and fix it on the field.
One of the things Corey mentioned was he wanted to have fun, playing football, and maybe that wasn't happening right now.
I'm having fun. Yeah, we all are. We won, you know, and that's fun. When you win, it's fun. Now, when you don't perform as well, it's not as fun. But yeah, I went into that locker room on Saturday. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun in there. I mean, it was a celebration, you know, and it's tough to have fun if your unit doesn't perform up to the standard that you want it to. There's an expectation level for each and every unit. But overall, as a team, it's still a team game, and we still celebrate as a team. And that aspect, that's still fun. Winning football games is fun, and they're hard to come by. But I understand what he's probably trying to say in that respect, that when you go through some difficulties and hard times, you just got, you know, you got to bounce back. You got to put your best face on, move forward, and fix it. And there's no easy solution but to work hard. And that takes hard work. And then the fun in that is when you win and when you do well. But I think the main goal is still to win. And that's where the fun lies. So as a team, I'm excited that where we're at, but not in terms of performance. I like where we're at in terms of record. I like the way that we're positioned now to start a conference at 3-1. But I do know and realize that there's a lot to get done, a lot to work upon and improve as we head into the schedule.
You've got some things to sell, but cookies, just a thing. But should...
Every day.
Right. But, I mean, in your opinion, should a college kid be, for instance, called out by name?
It's not for me to say. It's really not for me to say. I've got a lot of respect for the media. You're professionals at what you do. You go into each situation pretty calculated as to what you want to get out of a story and how you're researching a story. So, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the profession in general. So it's really not for me to say. I think the readers. They'll voice their opinion in one way or another. But for a coach, you know, all we do is try to educate our players to the pressures of the game and what they can expect, you know, when things are different. That fair or unfair, that's generally how it is. And I think that's in any sport, whether it's football or basketball, baseball. I think everybody who's in the public light is subjected to criticism and praise. And just like I was saying yesterday, you know, your ability to handle that is really important. And if you let it affect you negatively, you'll have negative effects. But, I've learned quite a bit. It's an education unto its own.
So what's the biggest challenge in treating a college student not like an NFL player so that they're coming to practice? Because Corey mentioned it's when you've got class, you've got all these outside things, it's just football. Is there a challenge in coaching and balancing that?
Oh, I think there's a sensitivity to that. And that sensitivity is realized dramatically by our staff. I can't even begin to tell you how many times our coaches have those players over at their homes, in their homes, with their families, you know, to take some of that pressure off them, to alleviate those feelings of any type of, you know, business type atmosphere and environment. I would tell you our environment is not like that. It's very collegiate like. It's made for the student athlete to come in and feel comfortable and to express himself if there's any problem. I think we all have a great relationship with our players in an open door policy where they can come in and express themselves if something's bothering them. And it's not perfect. There are pressures on student athletes, but again, it's a process, you know, that you try to educate them with. And I think our staff downstairs in the Hewitt, our life skills staff, does probably as good as, if not better, a better job than anybody in the country educating our student athletes as to the pressures and the anxieties that surround athletics and going to school at the same time. So I think they're very well educated in that regard. But, you know, you can never have enough. You can never have enough education or assistance or help or, you know, just personal relationships and contacts to help a student athlete through some difficult times. Because it is tough. They are under the gun and they are under pressure. And that's a part of it. But that's a good life lesson that will only help them down the line when they graduate from the university and go on in their own life. You know, we all deal with those pressures. So I think there's a great education that they get a little bit earlier in life that can help them much, long lasting and much later on in life.
And the outside expectations in Nebraska are characteristically high compared to other places.
No, that's why I came here. I think they're great. I think that's right where we want to be. Is, you know, we visualize and envision the opportunity to win a national championship. That's why we come here. That's why we coach and compete at the highest level, you know, and try to get the best out of our players and coaches so we have that opportunity. And when it doesn't go well and you get knocked down a few notches and you're having problems in one certain area, you know, you got to fix it. You got to remedy that as fast as you can. And that's what we're doing. That's what our coaches are working on. And there's, you know, like I said, there's no other way to do it than go back on the practice field, get this game behind us, you know, and move on. It's important that we move on. Like we always do, win or lose, we try to, you know, get that last game behind us as soon as we can so we can focus on the next opponent.
So what are you seeing right now with the defense? Before we talk about a lack of energy, passion, motivation, sometimes those guys that you've seen. Do you see any of that, or what do you see?
I don't know. I respect Corey's opinion, and they've had a competitive schedule, and that's good. I mean, that brings the best out of you, and we try to keep an eye on where their energy level, and their effort level is at on a daily basis. We look at that strongly. We just try to improve that, you know, the best we can. I don't have a clear cut answer for you. I really don't. I don't have an answer in terms of energy level. We just, you know, I know that we've been through, you know, some tough games, but I have no excuses, you know, relative to those contests. You know, we've got to deal with it, and we got to get better and got to look to improve it as fast as we can. But, again, I have no excuses about energy level. I've never looked upon that as a coach as a reason for having difficulties, you know. We have some problems in one area that we're working hard to fix. That's all I can tell you. And then again, it's up to us coaches and the coaching staff to fix it. And we'll do the very best we can to get our players enlisted into what we're doing and then make a turn for the better. That's what we're doing right now.
There's some things you can build on. What would be the strength that you see that you can build on?
Yeah, I thought the early down play in the non-conference schedule, there were opportunities where I saw us, you know, defend the run well. I mean, that's a hard statement to make when you're getting beat in that particular area. But there's positive signs. I like to see it collectively tied together, but individually, there's some very good individual performances. Zach Potter's performance on Saturday, I thought, was very good. That's encouraging. That was a real boost for us as a staff to watch his play and watch him play when I didn't think he was even going to play. I mean, he was out of practice the entire week, and he came around and got himself better and put himself in a position where he wanted to play. When I visited with him on Friday and Saturday prior to the game, he said, "Coach, I'm playing. There's no way you're keeping me out of this game." So that's real encouraging. You know, guys that want to be in there, want to play hard, and are improving. So I came away, you know, I'm jacked up about his performance. I thought it was great. Bill Dillard continues to get better. Steve has played solid. Bull has played solid. we've got to do a better job in the back end. I think that there's some signs where we, you know, knocked people out and knocked them down, and free safeties broke on the ball and made some great collisions, you know, on the vertical routes. But then there were some plays that we gave up. So that consistency factor is huge, and to try to bring that team collectively together from a consistency standpoint is kind of the main thrust right now. I like Phillips' play because he's tough, and he's got a sense of where he should be. You know, he's not always, he needs a lot of things to improve upon as well. But just from his play, his style, he's a fired up guy. He's emotional. He's enthusiastic. You know, he brings a spark to the defense. I love the way that he, you know, I love his the ability for him to get up into the hole and collision a back or take on a fullback or a guard. He does all those things well. And it was great to have a situation where you have a lot of good linebackers, because each and every one of those guys is unique. They're different. And they're all, we need them all. They're all going to play for us. So it's a good situation, I believe.
So what do you make of an Iowa State team that's lost some of the games they've lost, but also turn around and beat Iowa?
Well, mentioning the Iowa game, it was interesting to see them on film prepare for that game, because it's an interstate rivalry. It's a huge game up there. Their players were very emotional. You could see them play at a much improved level. They kept getting better week in and week out. So, you know, I think Gene's done an excellent job, you know, for starting out and getting his team to capture such a huge win. And I expect the same type of effort level this week as they come down here to Nebraska. That game, since I've been here, has always been back and forth, and they're competitive and they're feisty. They're going to give everything they have because of the nature of the distance between the two schools. I'm looking at Meyer and I'm thinking to myself, here's a guy who's played 40 games in the Big 12. And this is an experienced quarterback. And I look at Todd Blythe. You know, he still has a lot of confidence in Todd. He goes to him in quite a bit of pressure situations, and he has a lot of confidence in his abilities, you know, to catch the ball and to run the right route and to get open and all that. But they're kind of a similar team in the respect that offensively they're in the eye, they're also in the gun. They're doing a lot of different formations. There's a lot of creativity in that regard. So they're a little bit different. So they're going to present us with a lot of new challenges. But overall, I think they're a very capable team.
What don't you study the most? The win over Iowa?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
What don't you study the most? The win over Iowa? Or
all of them. They're all in the breakdown. We use all four of them. But it just kind of struck me that game and the significance of that game, and watching their players elevate, they felt it was a really competitive situation for them, and they take a lot of pride. Those kids up there are prideful kids, and just having competed against them in the last 3 years, now going into year four, I know they're going through transition, and this is their first year, but they're you can see on film week in and week out, making positive strides. Even though they dropped the game out there at Toledo, they had an 11-point lead there in the fourth quarter that was very strong, and I just thought that they had shown improvement, you know, throughout the year. So in a very short time frame, and the Iowa game really highlighted it. And again, they did well against Toledo, and I just think they probably just, you know, their kicking game is, I think Gene's already addressed that about trying to improve that facet. So it's on film. There's nothing that we don't see that they don't know, or vice versa.
Coach Sam's obviously throwing the ball well. Can you talk about what he's doing from a leadership standpoint? Obviously, he's a former offensive coordinator.
Well, I think that he's leading by example without question, just because he's making the plays. And, you know, here's a high energy guy. He's always wired. He's always excitable, and he's always passionate about the next play and the next series and the next opportunity to get back on the field. He was a lot of fun on Saturday. You know, just going back in my mind and watching him play. He's kind of a steady force out there. He keeps everybody up. That's what I feel. I think you'd have to talk to the players to get their own opinion, but you know, he's always wired up to get the next play. What we're and wants to know what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. what do we have for him today? You know, he came upstairs yesterday looking for the package of things that were in the game plan. So here's a guy who loves football. He just loves football. And it's great to be around a guy like that.
Obviously, it's a passing record, but as you look at the film, I mean, were there things you saw that were significant improvements over what he had been doing?
Well, again, you know, when you're in a situation where you are throwing the ball more, you get more opportunities to see coverage and to make more decisions and to get a feel for the pass defense. And I thought that he exemplified that, and his decision making got better as we went through the game. I think in that last series he was 7 for 7, which proved to me that he had great command. His decision making was right on, and then of course the only improvable area I would say is, you know, his ability just to be a little more patient at times, because he's so quick minded and he's such a smart, brilliant kid that, you know, he'll want to make the answer. He wants to complete the answer right now. That at times in this structure of things that we're doing, we want him to be just a little more patient. And then of course the one throw he had on the post, I think his elevation on that throw was the only thing that that was physically critiqued, that he could do better.
Defenses simplify when
you
get into the Big 12
film
and everybody else, or does that
throw more
stuff in? Do you
maybe need to? I don't know. I don't know how defenses respond in the Big 12. It's all predicated on week to week. It is different. Some teams change, some don't. Some like to sit in base, some like to have a mix, some just randomly will come at you, and their approach can change. You know, it's the personality of their defense can change week to week. So that's a tough question to ask. But I do know this: that offenses are sophisticated in this particular conference. Again, you know, just looking at, you know, where we're at offensively, I think we're moving the ball efficiently, effectively enough to score points. And I thought, you know, we're not bad. It's not bad. You know, we can get better, but it's not bad. And then I said, you know, someone told me we're ranked 14th in the country. I said, that's not bad. That's not bad. We can get better. We can improve. And then that person told me, well, coach, you're only fifth in the conference. And so that just shows you, you know, the ability of offensive football in the Big 12 is pretty strong. You go through the conference, a lot of teams have weapons, have the ability to move it and do a lot of sophisticated things. So it's a challenge each week, and I think that coaches have to alter and change their game plans accordingly to who they're playing. So it's a tough question to ask, or answer, rather.
For you guys defensively, though, is that something that there's a tendency to look at simplifying when you aren't achieving your goals defensively, as maybe cutting down number of packages, substitutions, things like that? Do you look to simplify some things for your kids defensively?
We do what we think is in the best interest of our team to win. And every game is different in that regard. So, you know, I couldn't make a cookie cutter generic statement saying, you know, since you have a problem, simplify it. It's not that easy. And without getting into all the technicalities of the game, and there are a lot. And there are some teams that do stay in their base defense and play. And there are other teams that mix it. And like I said, there are other teams that change it up. You know, it's just a matter of preference. And in terms of playing to your strengths and playing to what the philosophy of your system is.
Has this year been pretty similar to Vance Wentzville, and how much you guys have stayed in your base or gotten out there?
Oh, I think, you know, a year ago we were mixing and matching pretty good. So I think there's a lot of similarities from last year that we're doing now this year. So, and again, I couldn't tell you exactly if it's the same or not the same or what percentage it is. That I would not know, because I think it changes on the opponent based on the opponent that you're playing. I think our guys are strong-minded individuals, and in terms of a staff, I think they understand that, you know, criticism comes with the territory. It comes with your job when you're out here. But I think they've been troopers. They've been, you know, they've been steady at it, you know, and it's, you know, it's no different than guys when they've been in tough situations. Buddy was in a tough situation a year ago in Alabama, and you know, these guys have all been in pretty tough places around the country. But to have the support, you know, come from a player like that, I think that sends a real clear message that, you know, they like their coaches, they like playing for them, they like what we're doing. So it's just a matter of us all doing a good, better job, that's all.
That said, Bill, how safe is Kyle Crook's job here?
Oh, he's got my full support. I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah, well, that was last week, though.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. There's no question, yeah.
Bill, you mentioned Myers and Blythe as maybe a strong point of Iowa State's team and maybe some issues you have in the secondary for your team. How important is it to win that matchup?
All those matchups, and again, it begins with pass rush. You know, that can alleviate a lot of pressure on the back end. We get a little bit more heat on the quarterback, whether it is with your 3-4-man rush or 5-man pressure, 6-man pressure, whatever it may be. We've got to get some heat on the quarterback. And then, of course, you know, just making the plays in the back end then become crucial. And how we do that will be important. I'm not going to unfold the game plan here, but no, there's a lot of things that we can do, you know, to alleviate that problem. And it's a matter of making the plays then. But as a coaching staff, we got to put our players in position to make those plays. That's my responsibility, to prepare the team, you know, to win and to also prepare them to be in successful situations. And I haven't done that enough. And we need to do it more so again this week as we head into conference play.
After 4 games, talk about your pre-snap routine, how much time is left on the play clock once you approach the ball.
Yeah, I really am. I'm real comfortable with it. Boy, you know, he's amazing. You know, we have a signal system, and there's a lot of ongoing debate about that out there. But aside from that, Sam is such an energetic guy. There have been a couple times when I've been on the sideline looking at the next play call, and he's right next to me. So, you know, he gets done with the play, and he's like a jackrabbit. He's right back on the sideline. I look up, and there he is. But he likes that at times. If he's, you know, between the 20s, he likes to come right over and get the play. He just feels more comfortable with it. And it's amazing. There have been several times during the course of the game where I'll yell a personnel grouping, then I'll begin the formation. And then he'll say, I got it. And he'll run right on the field. He's got the play. So I think he's more comfortable just getting it as opposed to watching the signal and then looking down at his band and then, you know, giving it to the offense. I think his process is sped up that way. So I'm comfortable with that. You know, I'm very comfortable with it.
Does your offense have enough time with the play clock to still read the defense once they get
there? I think we've been. I think, you know, compared to the beginning of the year when the clock was running pretty quick and pretty fast, I think the officials have done an outstanding job of becoming more consistent now, you know, after the ball's been called dead and rewinding the 25-second clock. I think that's become more consistent. I think they're trying to get it in play, the 25-second clock, that is, they're trying to get it in play anywhere between 12 and 15 seconds after the play. So that's become more consistent. So it's allowed us to operate a little bit more at the line of scrimmage. So I think the other day I was looking up at the 25-second clock after each play, and right prior to the snap, you know, we were getting it off anywhere between 8 and 11 seconds, I think. And then, of course, we were breaking the huddle at about between 17 and 18, which is pretty consistent football for us.
As well as Sam is moving the ball through here right now, how intent do you have to remain, or how intent do you remain on continuing to try to establish that running game when you go into every game?
I'm into scoring points. I want to score points, and I really don't care how we score them. If we're running it or throwing it or doing both or doing one or the other, that's how I see football. I just know that we have to score points, and I want to get on the board any way, shape, or form I can. So each time that unit goes on the field, they're going on the field to score, and I don't sit there and tell them, guys, we have to run four runs and two passes or anything like that, Mitch. I feel really strong about that. Whatever it takes to score points, we're going to do. And a lot of that is based on who we're playing and the defense and the matchups and things that we've prepared for. So to say, you know, passing game, passing game, whatever it takes, you know, to score points. That's where I'm at mentally.
Coach, you pulled the redshirt off Prince on Saturday. What's the plan for him now?
We haven't redshirted anybody.
What do you see his role being now that you put him on the field the first time? I'm
sorry.
What do you see Prince Amakumar? What do you see his role?
We're utilizing him on special teams and also in our sub packages in the defensive backfield. And trying to utilize his athleticism on special teams, on coverage teams, on the punt return team, and things of that nature. But we're trying to get him more play. Basically, Sean, starting from special teams, from that perspective. And then, you know, allowing him to grow and be nurtured in the sub packages is his development. That's his process right now.
Coach, how do you insulate yourself from all this stuff that's lying around, all the scrutiny, the passion? And if it gets to you, how tough is it for you as a competitor not to just...
Well, you know, this is the honest to God's truth. We work so hard and so long and so furious. There's not a lot of downtime to sit around, you know, and have a pity party. You know what I mean? If you're not doing well, you gotta go to work. You got a job to do. You know, you got players to motivate, coaches and schedules, you know, to get out and game plans to get completed, film to watch. There's so much. There's so much work to be done. There's no time. And I think I was telling Tom. Tom Chattel asked me, "You read the paper?" I said, "Well, every now and then I will, but I really try not to because I don't have time to during the season." But I am kept informed by a lot of people and things of that nature. But I really don't, because I'm coaching. If I wasn't coaching, if I wasn't actively involved in the offense and watching film and doing game plans and being with the staff, then I would tell you it could possibly be different. But that's not the case because my day is consumed from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed, if I go to bed. I don't even know what channel you're on. You could have fooled me. Okay.
What do you tell your players about that, Bill? I mean, there's a lot of hubbub about the Mike Gundy stuff and about where the line is and all the figures. But from something that Corey mentioned, as classmates with you with that as well, they're not as interested as coaches are.
Yeah. It's a life lesson in a lot of ways, but you know what I tell them is that you know, everyone else's opinion is really no business of mine, and so I try not to make it my business.
What was your family against
you? Yeah, I haven't followed. I heard, but I haven't seen anything, and I haven't watched what occurred. I have bits and pieces of it. I'm not that informed on that situation. So I can't answer that for you.
You ever been on YouTube?
I heard it's out there. I hear it's out there. Okay, guys.